But anyway, it's awesome to be here, and we had a good time first service as well, praying for some people. Some people were really touched and healed and blessed, and a bunch of people committed their lives to Christ, and it was really, really special. So I want to speak to you about kingdom culture. So I've been doing a series in our church called Kingdom Culture. I've been doing a video recordings as well, so we're going to be releasing a small group curriculum very soon. Based on this, and basically what I've done is I've taken the fivefold ministry, because my passion is the fivefold ministry. I've taken the fivefold ministry and I've looked at it from a kingdom culture perspective. You see, people get confused. They think Jesus came to establish a religion, but he actually came to establish a kingdom, the kingdom of heaven on earth. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, change, have a change of mindset, have a change of heart, because the kingdom is at hand. And then he stretched forth his hand and he healed the sick and he demonstrated the kingdom. But Jesus' focus is always to take his realm, the kingdom of heaven, to take that realm and to release that into this realm. And all these parables and everything he spoke about was about the kingdom. Every time, go read the Gospels, he would say, and the kingdom of God is like, because we have no frame of reference for the kingdom. And we enter the kingdom, we come to Jesus, but we bring a religious mindset often with us, a worldly mindset. And as I've been sharing previously as well, is that the kingdom of God is the upside down kingdom. It is the opposite of everything we see is normal. It's counterintuitive. It is the opposite of how this world operates. If you want to be first in the kingdom of God, you need to be last. If you want to enter the kingdom of God, you can't just write the test. No, you need to be like a child. You need to trust like a child. If you want to be financially blessed, you need to give. In this realm, you need to hoard if you want to have. In the kingdom of God, if you want, you need to give. It's the opposite. And sometimes we forget this. We come with a religious mindset to the scriptures instead of a kingdom mindset. And this kingdom has a king, and his name is Jesus. We also forget this. We think Jesus is still a little Jesus in a manger, little baby. He's not. He's now the King of glory. He's reigning from heaven, and he wants to establish the kingdom of God through us. So for many people, we don't realize how big God is. So for some as well, same thing with a little manger. Our God is sometimes like a little cat, you know, a house cat, so tame, so nice and cute. Oh, kitty cat, cute. Oh, little Jesus, hey, Jesus, we go to church today. Come, we take our little cat out of the box. We go to church. Oh, we sing our songs. Woohoo! Thank you, Jesus. That was wonderful. Back into the box. Okay, now real life can go on. That's often how we live. Do we really live as if our God is glorious and powerful and all things are possible? Well, often not. Often not. We live as if he's a little kitty cat when he's actually the Lion of Judah. He's glorious. He's with us. I have this mental picture of a lion with us. Imagine a lion with you. I spoke to our youth the other day again. I asked him, imagine walking into the school and there's a lion next to you. Your friend, the lion, that changes the game. Are you going to be afraid? No. Household, when it comes to a little household cat, you're the boss. But when it comes to the Lion of Judah, he's the boss. He sets the atmosphere. He determines what's going to happen here right now. But so often we live as if our God is a little kitty cat. He's not. He wants his kingdom to come. His children are the people that turns the world upside down. Right side up. And that's what the Apostle Paul and the guys, they were blamed for this. Those who've turned the world upside down have come here also. It's a glorious kingdom. But the kingdom must first be established on the inside of us before it can be manifested through us. And so my mission is I want to build out the kingdom culture, the culture of heaven. I want to build it out in the lives of people, in the church, because I believe if you build it, God will come. If you build it, if you create an environment, a kingdom of heaven environment here on earth, God will come. Well, look at Moses. God spoke to Moses. He gave him a blueprint. He said, build the tabernacle. He built the tabernacle according to the dimensions that God gave him. What happened? God came in all of his glory. And then we have Solomon. Solomon built the temple according to the prescriptions of God. What happened? The glory came. The kingdom came. If you build it, God will come. Are you seeing it? We sometimes forget that. We forget that if we would just build according to God's blueprint, then God himself will come. And isn't that what we're after? I don't know about you, but you know, religion solves nothing. It's actually a problem. Religion messes up the world. People are over dead religion. They are over boring, dry religion that doesn't give real solutions to real problems. They want Jesus. They want the real deal. Huh? Isn't that true? Why are you coming to church? You're not coming to church just for to listen to a man to speak. You want to encounter more of God. You want God. Amen. This world wants God, and they are over religion, so they more people outside of the church than in the church in terms of Christians. Religion compared to kingdom. So I want to show you this diagram. It's based on the wrote a book, Increasing Heaven's Flow. And this is all about a ministry blueprint. And to explain to you, the building out a culture creates an environment where a river can flow. It's like the riverbank. Or it's like a wineskin so that the new wine can come. And so I believe God has called us to create a certain paradigm, mindset, lifestyle, culture, so that the Lord can pour out his life into our midst. So our mission at Shofar East London is to build up five cultures primarily so that five rivers can flow within those cultures. If you build it, God will come. If you build it, God will fill it. And so often I feel like the church, you know, we do our thing and then we say, Lord, come and fill it. Instead of realizing there's a river, let's go plant ourselves at the river. Civilization develops around rivers, not around deserts, if we want life. And so many parts of the church has built the church around the desert and around empty religion, empty structure, instead of building it around the source, the life, the river of life. So we see this in Revelation. I'll read it in a moment, but just to explain to you. So there's an apostolic culture or apostolic river. There's a prophetic culture and a prophetic river. Apostolic and prophetic, we spoke about it yesterday. So apostolic is the kingdom reign. So I'm going to pray for you. You might have sickness in your body. And now the kingdom of God comes, and whatever is contrary to the kingdom of God must leave. So sickness goes and healing comes. Or darkness goes and light comes. So apostolic cultures, I'm just touching shortly on it, it's much bigger than that. But the kingdom of God reigning on the earth. And prophetic culture is presence host. It's our worship, it's our prayer, it's bold, it's hearing the voice of God. All of that flows out of the very tangible presence of God. So again, I'm not just wanting to sing songs, I'm after his presence. And I know when I worship him with all my heart, his presence draws near. You see, but we sort of fall into religious activities. Now we're going to sing a few songs, and now we're going to pray, but we forget what it's about. It's about him, all of him, tangibly. I think we don't have a grid sometimes. But if you read the revivals of the past, when God pitches, it rocks people's worlds. Mighty, glorious impact. So then pastoral flow is like a supernatural anointing to cause relationships to flourish. So this is one of me and Sonic and my wife, 16 years married. One of our passions is to see relationships flourish. It's our mission. Imagine for a moment there's a pastoral river flowing in the church. It causes relationships to supernaturally flourish. Imagine your community finds out, if you go to that church, your relationships will be blessed, your marriage will be blessed. They will run to the church. Because the people out there don't know how to do relationships. Everybody's trying to do relationships on their own way. Why doesn't it work? Because you're not obeying God. You're not doing God's way. And there's not an anointing to see hearts to be softened and to turn to one another and to become one. I believe pastoral culture is to create an environment where there's supernatural unity in the church, but also relationships and people flourishing. And I can't go into more detail. Now, then teaching flow, the word become flesh, and then evangelistic culture, evangelistic flow, is a mission is souls win. And I want to share a bit about that this morning, about the evangelistic culture, evangelistic flow. Do we have Marlise? Is she here? Oh, okay. Well, she had an awesome testimony from yesterday, how the Lord healed her after more than 20 years of significant back problems. So yesterday in the meeting we had, I called a few people forward, for Marlise and another lady, and I said to them, okay, I've preached to you, I've shared with you now about healing, but now I'm going to demonstrate it to you. So then we prayed for Marlise, another lady, and the first time nothing happened. Second time, her pain levels went from 8 or 9 out of 10 to say 5 or 4 or something like that. And then we prayed a third time, and then she just started to weep. All the pain disappeared from her body, and she was completely healed. And she's still healed today. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. More than 20 years, more than 20 years of significant back problems and doctors and tests and couldn't sort it out. Until Jesus comes and touches you. One touch from heaven. Everything changes. Everything changes. So our God is glorious and powerful. And I believe if we build our churches around the fivefold ministry cultures, the end result will be the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4. The purpose of the fivefold ministry is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, so that we may build one another up and so that we might come to the fullness of Christ. That sounds like a good cause, a good goal. That the church would look like Jesus. That's good news. Because the church is falling short. And so we were in Manaus, a church, a large church in Brazil, middle last year. And we had around 400 people physically healed in that 1 week. 150 people coming to Christ, incredible deliverances and manifestations of God's power. I mean, it was amazing. But I remember the one evening as I was getting onto the stage, I felt God say to me, make my bride beautiful. Make my bride beautiful. This is my mission. This is my life call. I want to see the bride of Christ to be beautiful and powerful. Beautiful and powerful. And it looks like that diagram. Fivefold ministry cultures. We can see it even in the book of Acts. We see that massive revival that rocked Jerusalem and the surrounding regions. You can see fivefold ministry culture manifesting. It takes the church to a next level. You know, so in our churches, some of our guys were sharing with us now and in East London. And you know, this is glory to Jesus, nothing to do with me. But the testimonies of the people. So one of our older small groups, group of older people in church that's been through church for many years, and they told one of the small group leader, and he shared with me, and he said to me, they're saying there's something different about this church. There's no other church like this church. There's something different. And they don't know exactly what it is, but there's something different. And that so blesses me, because I believe that's what God is calling us to, that people would walk into church and people get to know the people and connect with people, and then they're like, there's something different. There's something different. It doesn't feel like religion. It feels so much more like Jesus. You know, and so we're just getting started in the process, but I believe there's just so much more. And that's what we're after, the more, the fullness of Christ. The fullness of God. But it begins with you and me. The kingdom must first come on the inside of us before it can come through us. And so we need to make these changes. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Change your way of thinking. Change your way of looking. And then change your way of living. If you want to access the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So that's what the Lord wants to, I believe, wants to do. So I want to just sort of get into a bit of the evangelistic culture in this session, in this service. So anyway, so middle last year, well, let me just read quickly the scriptures. Revelation something, Revelation 21, 22. Revelation 22, it says, he showed me a pure river of water of life proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. So there's a river flowing from the throne of God. And then we see in John 7, 38, Jesus speaks about rivers. And he says, he who believes in me, or other words, he who is awesome. No, he who believes. Let's say it, believe. Believe. It says, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Out of his heart, out of your heart, rivers of living water. When you believe, when you reposition yourself in the midst of the river of life, then life will flow forth from you. And so I've experienced this in so many different ways. It's like I'm praying for somebody and suddenly it's like a river, God just crashes into them. And they go to the ground and they get up healed and delivered and set free. Or sometimes they just stand there and they experience fire all over their body. Like Marlies said yesterday, her whole body was burning. So there's this river of life, river of the Holy Spirit that God wants to release through us. But what's the key? You need to believe. And you need to believe that this is for you. If you just reposition yourself in the river, say the evangelistic river anointing, and an evangelistic river will flow forth and people will come to Christ. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's say it. This is for me. I want to remove the lid off your thinking. We become so religious in our mindset that we think that, you know, it's only for the special people, the pastors, the preachers, something like that. And it's not. It's not. It is for the anybody to move in the fullness of God. That's the purpose of fivefold ministry, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So let me give you some context. So middle of the year, my wife and I went on holiday with our son. He's 8 years old. Amazing boy. Love him. So he was playing. So we're four mornings, every morning we went on to walk on the beach. And the fourth morning, Sunday morning, we were walking on the beach and my son was playing in the waves like waist deep. And Sonic and I were standing like 70 plus meters away, like halfway up the beach. And I had the sense in my spirit that I'm going to have to run into the waves to save my son at any moment. And it was weird. I'm like, I'm paranoid. Stop it. You know, but I had the sense that I'm going to have to run into the waves to save my son. So anyway, I'm like an hour goes past and we go down the beach and he moves with us and playing in the waves. And then at some point, you know, we were standing and Sonic and I, we were talking, and the next moment I hear my son scream, like help. So I looked across and he went too close to the rocks, so it went deeper there and then the current took him and was taking him out into the sea. So he was screaming. So what any responsible dad would do is you give your cell phone and your sunglasses to your wife. And then you run. You know, so yeah, I ran like I haven't ever. I ran, got in there, grabbed him, pulled him out, and yo, he was shaken up. We were shaken up. But I was like asking myself, we were talking afterwards, like, what if we didn't hear? I mean, just the faithfulness of God to tell me, be ready. To run in, because my son has a calling on his life. But we were thinking through this, and I believe it's like such a picture for us. And the Lord spoke to me about his heart as the father and his children that are drowning, dying in their sins. And on the rocks here to the side, there were two guys taking off muscles for probably for fishing. And so they were standing with their backs to where my son Vian was, and they didn't know anything. And I felt that the Lord was saying, that is a picture of my church, of my people. We're so busy with our little things, our hobbies and our thingies. And when we've become spiritually so dull that we don't hear the cries of people. We're not aware people are dying in their sin. You know, and I believe that, you know, if we weren't there and those two guys were just, and they didn't know, then my son 50 meters away from them would have drowned. And I believe that's a picture of so much what's happening in the church. We're so busy with our little things that we're not spiritually aware of what's really happening around us. You know, Swakopmund looks like a holiday resort, but it's actually a war zone. It's a war zone. It's a war zone for the hearts and the minds of people. But the enemy makes us dull and we get so busy with our stuff, our TV and our hobbies and our this and our that. And God wants us to wake up. If we are going to have a river, an anointing, a powerful force flowing through our churches, then we need to make a shift. We need to up our evangelistic temperature. We need to up the passion that we have for the lost. We need to become aware of the reality of this truth. Anybody outside of Christ, if they die in their sin, they are lost forever. Good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people go to heaven. And it's only through Jesus Christ. But we get confused about this. We're not always sure. We hope maybe good people would go because he was such a nice guy. Good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people do. And so some years ago, I felt like the Lord showed me a vision of a funnel. If you can maybe put that up, the funnel image. I felt the Lord say to me, everything we do above that funnel, everything we do, church services, whatever else, you go down a little bit, press down, put it up there. So everything, missions, our hobbies, our services, the work we do, small groups, and everything else, all of that should all come down to one thing. Souls. Souls, because what the heck are we doing if it doesn't add to souls? What's the point of seeing people physically healed and set free in the physical, but they don't give their lives to Jesus? So I'm not after miracles for the sake of miracles. I'm pursuing the power of God as a sign to every man, woman, and child that my God is glorious and he's worthy of praise and he's worthy of surrendering our lives to him. You know, so we were in Rio de Janeiro. We were praying for a lady. Her name is Josie Costa. She had cancer in her body. So she had cancer she had lymphoma cancer, and then it spread into her bone marrow, and so it was the end. So she'd been going through chemotherapy, and then she came to us, we prayed for her, and so I prayed for her in the name of Jesus, God, heal her, prayed in Jesus' name, be healed. And then I told her, okay, test your body. So she tested her body. She went to all the lymph glands and she found her eyes went like big and like the swelling is gone because all these things were swollen up. And she felt stronger and she felt better. And we said, okay, that's awesome. Now go test yourself. Go to the doctor. Go test yourself. So about a month plus later, back in South Africa, I go onto Facebook and I see myself tagged in this Facebook post and this post is going nuts. 180 comments. People are sharing it. And I realized this is the Josie Costa girl that I prayed for, lady that I prayed for. She went to the doctors. She had herself tested. No sign of cancer. Completely healed. It just disappeared off her body. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Our God is powerful. But the Lord wants to heal the whole person, soul, spirit, and body. The whole being. The whole being. But the miracles are there for a sign to point to Jesus. Jesus is powerful. Jesus is glorious. Jesus is the Savior. So the question we need to ask ourselves is this. What is the purpose of the church? What is the purpose of the church? If it was a boat, what type of boat is it? Is it a cruise liner? Can we put on the picture there, cruise liner? Purpose of the vessel? Yes, catching some rays. This is such a lekker church. Wonderful. Kiddies church, can't hear my children screaming. Yes, hallelujah. It is, chairs are so comfortable. The pastor always encourages me. When I leave, I have like a song in my heart. I feel so good and pumped and, you know. It's a nice church. Really adding to my life. Is that the focus? Comfort? Making us happy so that we can be more blessed? Living your best life now type of thing. Which isn't bad. There's good parts of that. But is that what it's about? Or is the church like a U.S. Coast Guard vessel where there are crew members and everybody knows this is why we exist. We exist to see the lost saved. We exist to impact lives. We exist to live in a way that would be a testimony to the goodness and the power of the living God so that everybody may be pointed to Christ. What is the purpose of the vessel? I believe that's the purpose of the vessel, to see lives saved, to get our hands dirty, to know why we live. Where do you find yourself today? Are you living in that zone? Are you living in holiday resort mode? Are you living in, this is a war zone? And I am a soldier in the army of the living God to see souls saved. If we want an anointing, a supernatural anointing to see the lost saved, we need to make that transition. We need to, you know, that's what I felt God say to me. I know how it feels for my boy. I mean, Sonic and I, we were speaking about it. If my son died during this holiday, it would have been officially the worst day of our lives. And we were speaking about it like everything would have changed. All our priorities would have changed. Nothing would be the same again because of death. You see, death changes the game. But we live as if we're going to live forever. We live as if everybody else is going to live forever. And we won't. Every man, every woman, every child will die at one stage. The question is, will we be ready? The question is, would we have lived to the full? The question is, will we be able to stand before the living God and say, God, I lived full on for you? You see, death is speaking to us. Are we hearing? Death is knocking on the door saying, hey, I'm coming at some point. Are you ready? Life is short. Do you know how long life is? It's as long as a breath. Gone. Gone. Long as a breath. And it's game over. But we forget this. You know, but every memorial service I've done, I am come face to face with this reality. Life is short. Are you ready? Death is speaking. Are you hearing? And so we need to live with that urgency, that evangelistic fire in our hearts. So I want to read a verse here in terms of a boat. I believe the greatest miracle, I mean, we've seen 1,200 people physically healed in just over 3 years. I mean, we've seen so many awesome things that God has done. But I know with all my heart, one soul that turns to Jesus is a greater miracle than anything else. More than raising the dead. More than cancers disappearing. More than people in wheelchairs getting up out of wheelchairs, which we have seen. More than that, one soul that turns to Jesus, it's the greatest miracle. It is huge. It is amazing. It is so defining to see someone that was in the kingdom of darkness come into the kingdom of light. The changes on the inside, it's amazing. So, are we living with that focus? So Matthew 24 verse 14, it says, in this gospel of the kingdom, this message of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. The message we preach is the message of the kingdom, not religion. The kingdom, there is a king, and he is a king of love, yes. He is a God of love, yes, but he's a God of holiness. And he is demanding us to align our lives with his kingdom principles, kingdom laws, kingdom ways, if we want to be blessed. He gives us free choice. But we need to choose, what are we going to do? How are we going to live? But this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world. I believe with all my heart, the kingdom of God is coming and will keep on coming until the whole world is filled with the kingdom of God. That is the timeline. This is how it's going to be. Sometimes we get so focused on the Antichrist, and every second next president of America is the next Antichrist and whatever else. You know, it's just such a distraction. The truth is, it doesn't matter what the devil is doing. The kingdom of God is coming, will keep on coming until Jesus reigns in all the earth. Okay. Until the whole earth is filled with his glory. That's the truth. And so we need to live in that paradigm that the kingdom is coming and will keep on coming. The question is, will we be part of it? I want to be, God, I want to be part of it. I want to be part of what you're doing in Jesus' name. Okay, so let's look at this about its purpose of the vessel. Let's look at a boat, Noah's Ark, Genesis 6 verse 17. And speaks about this paradigm that needs to settle into our hearts. It says, and behold, I myself, this is God, am bringing flood waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh, in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. So that was some years ago, but that is the picture we are in currently as well. Everybody outside of the ark dies. Who's the ark? The ark is Jesus. Everybody outside dies. And so the Lord spoke to Noah and said to him, build me a boat. And he gave him the dimensions, and he built according to those dimensions. And I believe God is calling you and me, the church, to build an evangelistic culture according to the blueprint of heaven, and then God will save. God will move powerfully. God will impact multitudes of lives. So another scripture, Genesis 7:23. So it says, so he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. Only Noah, only those in the ark remained alive. Only those. Until our hearts break for the lost, we will not know the empowerment of the living God. To release deep conviction, supernatural conviction that moves past people's intellect and to impact their hearts, we need to have deep conviction. Without Christ, you're lost. With Christ, you live for eternity in heaven. Amen. Is that settled in your heart? Because sometimes people get confused and say, well, how can a loving God send people to hell? The truth is, or the better question is, how can a loving God not send people to hell? Let me explain. You're a father of a family of five children. One of the sons becomes a drug addict. The drug addict is destroying the family. Absolutely destroying the family, stealing, breaking down, influencing badly the other children. What does a loving father do? He speaks to his son. He puts him down and says, my boy, I love you so much. I love you so much. But I cannot allow this in my house. I love you, but I love everybody. I have to put you outside until you repent and turn and sort out your stuff. Then you're welcome back in the house. In the same way, every human being who's not been born again by the power of the living God has a disease on the inside called sin. That disease leads us to rebellion against the King of Heaven. That disease causes us to fight against the will of God. We always want to go contrary, always want to do the opposite. I mean, we see this disease in our world. We see it in Hollywood. They don't cuss in the name of Muhammad. Huh? They don't cuss in the name of Buddha. No, they cuss in the name, when they want to be vile and wicked, they cuss in the name of Jesus. And we point our little finger to this, the God of heaven and earth, and we say, stuff you. The disease, this rebellion, it is true. Is this a popular message? No. Is it the truth? Yes. It is the truth. We all have a disease in our system until we bow the knee before the King and we say, King Jesus, forgive me my rebellion. Forgive me for living contrary to the God of heaven and earth. I surrender my life to you. Wash me clean with your precious blood. Remove this disease from my heart and mind. It always wants to go contrary to your will. It's like any child. You put a line down there. You say, don't go over that line. Man, they're going to come here with the last line. I want to go over that line. It's like in us. God of love, but he's a God of holiness. God of love, but a God who's given everything for us so that we can turn to him. I mean, what does an earthly king do to rebellion? An earthly king, put them in jail or cut off their heads, type of thing, you know? How much more the King of heaven and earth? He says, guys, I can't allow you into heaven because the disease in your system will corrupt all of heaven and we'll have the same game all over again. Absolute nightmare. Corruption, sin, destroying lives. Are you seeing it? Yeah. I know it's not a popular message, but it's still the truth. And we need to choose to align our lives with the will of God. If we are confused about this, you will not have a passion to see the lost saved. You will yourself maybe not choose. I mean, I've sat with people and they tell me, like, I don't believe in hell. Really? Then why would God become flesh and die the most humiliating, horrible, shameful death on the cross? Why would God become a man and have them whip him and cuss him and break him and put a crown of thorns on his head and rip his arm out of the socket and put nails through his hands and his feet if there isn't a hell? Why would he do it if it isn't real? Hell must be horrific for God to become flesh and to choose to die like he did. It is real. It is not in someone's make-believe story. But if we get confused, then God cannot reach the lost because he can only reach them through us. You are the solution. You and I, there are people that you can reach that Yaku cannot never reach, never reach, but you can. Your family, your loved ones, your neighbors, your work colleagues. Oh, it was so beautiful. We had a ladies, Awakened Ladies Retreat recently, and one of the girls, ladies, committed her life to Christ on the Sunday morning. She responded, committed her life to God. And then the Monday morning, she went to work. And then she had this fire of God in her heart. So she asked, ladies, can I pray for you? And they were like, whoa, there's something's changed. And she shared via WhatsApp, she shared how she prayed for the ladies. And they were weeping. And the kingdom of God came. Their lives were rocked because someone who just gave their life to Christ, who had a fire in their heart, went and released that fire where they were. Isn't that beautiful? I promise you, the kingdom comes in a moment. We must just make a shift on the inside. A shift on the inside. We need to believe that God can use us to impact other lives. There's a supernatural anointing that God wants to use. So there's this, again, not popular story, but let me share it. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 to 11. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing the terror. Paul said, I know the terror. I know the fear of God. I know this is the day of salvation, but there's one day coming, a day of judgment. Every man will stand before God to give an account for their lives. And therefore, I persuade men, I beg, I plead with them. Guys, turn. Turn. You don't want, that's the worst day of your life, of heaven, of eternity, is that day where you will stand before God on judgment day. And if you stand before God when we're still in your sin, that is nightmare. That is game over. But if you are washed by the precious blood of Jesus and you live for him with all your heart, you can have such a confidence on that day. My King, the lover of my soul, I lived for you. That's my passion. I want to live for, I want to stand before God on that day and say, Jesus, I lived it. I obeyed you. I followed you. I loved you. So I want to encourage you that something will just resonate in your heart. And that's also why I am pursuing the power of God. And this verse speaks about this. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 2, it says, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Paul said, "I don't want to know anything but Jesus. I want to preach Jesus. I want to preach Him crucified. I want to give Him the reward of His suffering. He gave it all, and now I want to bring Him His reward." The message of Christ. And he says, "I was with you in weakness, in fear, and much trembling." In other words, guys, you know I'm nothing. I'm nobody. I'm not awesome, but I know Jesus is amazing. And then he says, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So Paul said, "Guys, I'm going to demonstrate. I'm not just going to speak to you about the kingdom of God. I'm going to demonstrate to you the kingdom of God." It rocks people's lives. I mean, we have a guy in our church. He visited about a year and a half ago. Backslidden Christian. In 1994, he was a heavyweight like gymmer. So he was in the gym and he was squatting or something too heavy or too heavily. And he broke his back. He broke his back. His spine ripped out of his back because it was horrific. He was 9 months in bed lying, he says, in his Ninja Turtle suit, some form of thing he had to lie in, I don't know. So it was 1994. Since that day, he has never been able to touch his toes. He has been self-medicating for 22 years, injecting himself with Voltaren and things daily, daily. So now he comes to church. Backslidden Christian. I preach the gospel, or I make an altar call, I call people to come forward to commit their lives to Christ. He's the only guy that responds. He comes forward. I pray with Dion, commits his life to God. He's back, going to follow Jesus. Following week, he comes to church. One of my elders get a word. He feels a heat on his own back, like a warmth on his back, and he says, "I think God wants to heal backs." So he comes, he takes the microphone, he says, "I feel that people with back problems come forward." So Dion comes forward. One of our normal members pray for him. And he gets healed instantly. He can touch his toes for the first time in 22 years. All pain's gone, no more self-medication. A year later, still healed. Glory to God. Amen. But you know how awesome it is when he came and he testified in the church and he shared with, you know, all the people that knew him over the years and the things that he's been through, and he gave glory to Jesus. He's so powerful. But every miracle points to Jesus, that Jesus is real. Not a make-believe fairy tale. This is not a fairy tale. This is real. This is not something someone made up a few thousand years ago to get your money. He is real. God is real. And he manifests his glory in many, many different ways. But it all points back to him. Our God is powerful and glorious. So the last verse I want to read. Acts 2, 37, 38, ending off with this. "Now when they heard this," now this is the day of Pentecost, "the Holy Spirit was poured out into the city. Peter got up and he preached about Jesus and him crucified." And it says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart." Say, "Cut to the heart." "And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said to them, 'Repent. Turn your heart and your life to Christ.'" But something supernatural happened. There was an evangelistic river flowing where 3,000 men committed their lives to Christ. 3,000. 3,000. Just because the Holy Spirit was poured out. No marketing. No big crusade even. It was just like, here the Holy Spirit comes, might like a mighty wave, like a mighty wind. People hear this noise, they like inquisitive, they come and look. 3,000 turn to Christ because they were what? Cut to the heart. There's a supernatural anointing that moves beyond the intellect and cuts to the heart, like, I need Jesus. So Andreas Bassoni, he shares the stories for me, so telling. He, end of a service, is a man who focused a lot on the presence of the Holy Spirit and the presence of God. And he says a young man is brought to him by his mom, by the young man's mom. And he doesn't want to be there. He's not interested in religion. But he comes and he speaks to Andreas Bassoni, and now he's trying to talk to this young man, but this young man wants nothing to do with God. And he's like almost giving up, like, oh, I don't know if it's going to work. And he's like in his heart praying, Lord, come. Next moment he feels the Holy Spirit above his head, and suddenly the Holy Spirit moves in upon this young man. Where this young man grips his own heart, goes down to the ground screaming, I need to change. I need to change. I mean, that's so powerful. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord doesn't tell us to try and save people in our own ability. He gives us power to cause people to turn to Christ. An anointing, a river, an evangelistic river. I saw this last story. A guy, Aviwe, about 2 years ago came to our church. His girlfriend brought him to church. He had two girlfriends at the same stage at that time. They didn't know about one another. He lived a really worldly life and didn't want to come to church. Girlfriend brings him to church. And he, at the end of the service, I chat to him and I asked, did he fill in the visitor card? I want to phone you. He said, no, no. Anyway, he gave me his number and I was going to tell him I'm going to phone him. But he wanted to disappear. I found him in the week. We went to the Mug and Bean. We had a coffee for 2 hours. I preached the gospel at him from every possible angle. He didn't want anything to do. Not ready, not ready, not ready. That Sunday, he comes to church. I make an altar call. Who wants to commit their lives to Christ? And I say to them, guys, real men turn to Jesus Christ. Real men. Wusses, they do other stuff. But real men come to Jesus. So I spoke to his ego, I think. So anyway, he came forward. Hallelujah. So he prays the sinner's prayer. Later that week, I go to his house to go speak to him. As I'm walking into the house, he says to me, Pastor, I prayed your little prayer, but the lights haven't come on yet. The lights haven't come on yet. So I say, that's all good. It's a journey. So I preach to him, share with him about the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. At the end of the time, I realize, oh, I need to go. And I said, I'm quickly going to pray for you. So I have him stand like this, and I lay hand on him. I pray for him that the Holy Spirit would come and touch him. He shares with us later. He says with his eyes closed, he saw a light. And he's like, this is weird. He's like, is the pastor shining a flashlight in my eyes now? Or what the heck is going on here? I didn't have a flashlight. So his eyes are closed. He's seeing a light. Light comes closer. And he's like, whoa. And the light goes away. And now I'm praying, Lord, Holy Spirit, come and touch him. Fire of God, come upon him. Let the kingdom of God come. Next moment, this light comes in. And he says, and this is what I see. Looking at him, he was standing like this. Next moment, he goes like, whoa, whoa. And he goes down into his seat, and the tears run down his face. And he's saying, it's real. It's real. He was an atheist a week ago. And now, it's real. It's real. He's now a leader in our church, small group leader, and he's following Jesus 2 years later. Jesus encounter. God encounter. Let's give people more than just a message. Let's give them an encounter with the living God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what God wants to do. He wants to reveal himself to people. This isn't a fairy tale. Everything hinges on this one question. Everything hinges on this one thing, this one decision. Have you made the decision to follow King Jesus? No other decision means anything if that decision is not in place. No other decision makes any difference unless you've got this one in place. Have you surrendered your life to Christ? Is he the king of your life? And then, for the rest of us to realize, I am saved to save others. I live for this. I am saved to save others. There's a power, there's an anointing to see the lost saved. Imagine evangelistic river flowing through this church. a supernatural anointing that causes every one of us to be empowered to supernaturally lead others to Jesus. Imagine hundreds coming to Christ. Imagine thousands coming to Christ. Imagine every one of us leading one person to Jesus in the next 3-4 months. Because we asked, we trusted, we stepped out, and Jesus backed us up. It will change your relationship with God when you discover the glory, the beauty of leading someone to Jesus. It is one of the most beautiful things this side of eternity. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Please stand with me. So, kingdom culture. Imagine one day you entering heaven and there's a whole line of people waiting for you to say thank you. Thank you that you prayed. Thank you that you went that extra mile. Thank you. I mean, Vian came to me, my son. He came to me in the 3-4 days after I saved him. And he would just come and just hug me, hold me, and say, Daddy, thank you for saving me. What a moment. Daddy, thank you. You and I are the difference. You and I are the solution. But we need to align our lives with the will and the word of King Jesus. Amen. Let me just pray for us. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, God, that this is not a fairy tale. We thank you, God, that everything hinges on this one thing. Have I surrendered my life to Christ? God, we thank you for the power you've made available to us to be a rescue boat, to be an evangelistic people. In the name of Jesus. So as every eye is closed, I want to ask a question. Have you surrendered your life to Jesus? And I'm not talking about the little sinner's prayer. I'm talking about have the lights come on? Have the lights come on? Is your lifestyle showing that you are a follower of Christ? Because that's the test. The way we speak, the way we live is evidence of the reality of the change on the inside. Have you surrendered your life to Jesus? He loves you and he's pleading through me right now to say to you, turn to him. Let him turn the lights on. Real men turn to Jesus because they know they can't do this without him. They can't be good husbands. They can't be good fathers. They can't live a truly good life without Jesus removing the disease of sin from our being. Have you surrendered your life to Jesus? So I want to ask you right now, if death comes and knocks on your door right now, are you ready? If not, I want to pray with you. I want to ask you, if you need to turn to Jesus right now, would you quickly raise your hand? Quickly raise your hand as a sign to me and to the Lord. Thank you for those hands. Thank you to those for those. Come on, be bold. Jesus died on a cross for us. He gave it all for us so that we can be saved, so that we can be washed with the precious blood of Jesus and be made new creations in Christ. So I want to ask again, how's your relationship with Jesus? Have you maybe lost your way? Have you lost that fire? Are your lifestyle contradicting the lifestyle of a true believer in Jesus? If so, I want to pray with you. Repent, turn, and be saved. If you've raised your hand, you can drop your hands. It's fine. Anybody else, quickly raise your hand. The Lord is here to save today. He's here to set free today. In the name of Jesus. Father, we worship you. We worship you. We lift you high in this place. Lord, we pray that every one of us would make things right with the living God, King Jesus. Last time I'm going to ask, If you know that that's you, that you need to make right. You see, you can't stand one day before the Lord and you say, well, God, I was just so afraid to raise my hand. It's just not me. It's not my personality. It's got nothing to do with that. It's about accepting the invitation to say, Jesus, I need you. Every man, every woman, every child needs to bow the knee before King Jesus. And it starts with just raising a hand, saying, Lord, that's me. I need you. I need your forgiveness. I've been in rebellion to you. Save me. Hallelujah. Thank you for those hands. Come on, raise your hand if you need to raise your hand. If you haven't raised it yet, and you need to raise your hand, raise it right now. It takes humility to enter the kingdom of God. Only a child. You must come as a child, like, God, this is me. Daddy, I'm raising my hand. Jesus, save me. Everybody's drowning without Christ. All it takes is to call upon His name and then follow Him. Humble yourself. Call upon His name and then follow Him with everything within you. In the name of Jesus. Anybody else? Just quickly raise your hand if you haven't raised it yet. If you need to turn to Jesus this day. I did this around 20 years ago. Rocked my world. Rocked my world. Some people have asked, how do you know if you've met Jesus? Well, it's like standing on the national road and a truck runs over you. Everything's different. You get up there, be like, you look different. You're acting different. What's wrong? What's changed? I met Jesus. It's amazing. I love Him with all my heart. Hallelujah. If you raised your hand, can I ask you to quickly come forward? We want to pray with you. Come on. Just come and stand with me. Be bold. Come on. Come on, let's give them a hand. Awesome. And you might have done this before, and you might have prayed the sinner's prayer, but we're going to trust the Lord right now for a shift, a change on the inside, that the lights would come on. And if there's somebody else that needs to be in the front, come on, just do it. Real men, turn to Jesus. Real men, turn to Jesus. If you have some leaders, just to stand with them, please. Just put a hand on their shoulder. Oh, there's nothing like following Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The greatest miracle we can see in this life is for one heart to turn to Jesus. He is the desire of the nations. Everything we're longing for is found in Christ. Everything. So we're going to be praying with you now. We're going to pray. I want us to pray a prayer, all of us together. We're going to trust God, the Holy Spirit, to do a miracle on the inside of you. And then the facilitators, we're going to pray with you for a few minutes. And then we're going to pray for some sick people. So if you have conditions in your bodies, we're going to trust Jesus to heal you. And I'm also going to part of this prayer. I want us to pray this, that Lord, I am saved to save others. I am not saved for the cruise liner. I am saved for the rescue boat. I am saved to impact the lives of others. Amen. So if all of us can pray this together, let's trust God to do a miracle in us. I'm just going to pray first, and then I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the good news. We deserve separation, eternal separation because of our sins. We deserve it, God, every one of us. There's no good man, no good woman in this house. None of us are good. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. But there is a God who is love and who is good. And He gave everything so that we could be washed clean and righteous and holy and blessed. So Jesus, we say thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for dying on that cross for us. Thank you for loving us so well. Lord, we want to respond to your love right now. And we pray, God, that as we pray this prayer, that your Holy Spirit would flood in, that the lights would come on, that we would be changed, that we would be born again, that we would be washed and cleansed and renewed, made new. Lord, where there's any area of our lives that are, where we're living in disobedience and rebellion against your will and your word, that we would realign with your word, the decrees of the King. In the name of Jesus, God, do a miracle right now in every one of our hearts. In Jesus' name.